Okay.
It always makes you fight.
He made my punch list.
And that was our first fight. Time is a flat circle.
Like, two people are gonna get this.
Ooh. Love, Kale.
Ew. I want him to crawl to me.
Now that was spicy.
Your Honor, I love him.
Gross! Why choose means you don't choose.
I want a third act breakup because I want him to grovel.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Trust me, I'm a father. Don't worry, Daddy's got you. Welcome to chapter 15 of the Smut Daddy Podcast.
Hey,
hi,
guys.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome back.
I am your host, Father Lib, aka the Smut Daddy.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt. And we are just two besties that found each other on Bookstagram and can't imagine life without the other now.
And today we're joined with probably the nicest human that's ever walked the earth. Yes. I love her so very dearly. And now she's decided to abandon us and become a freaking debut author. We are here with the beautiful Sam Wild. Hi.
I'm not abandoning you. I'm just
abandoning. Oh, it's like the anxiety reader, her personal little Bookstagram account. I was like, this is a girl I can get behind. You're talking to the most anxious queen in the whole world right here. And then she was like, by the way, I'm going to be super cool. I'm going to write a book and I'm going to become the next best-selling author. I can already see it in your future. And I'm just like, okay, what about us little guys that have been here the whole time with you?
What about the anxious followers?
Don't just take over her account.
I'll just hand it over to you guys and you can just run with it.
How are you, Sam?
I'm tired.
Girl, you're preaching to all of us here.
I am
like the rest of us.
I'm so exhausted. Like,
just from everything in life, or because you're getting down to the nitty gritty of getting closer to release?
Like, both. Because, like, I work full time. And this author, indie author, is like, it's a full time job.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I get done with my day job at 5 o'clock, and then I'm like, all right, like, let's start up the second one.
You're like, I gotta start marketing and getting back on, making that engagement. I know, it's never ending.
It's never ending.
And then for anxious people, I'm like, that's a lot of talking. It's just a lot of talking to people when I know we're both anxious.
Sometimes, like, I have to, like, step away. I'm like, I need to step away. Like, I just need to touch some grass, breathe some oxygen, take my dog for a walk. Like,
not stare at your screen, in your face. Yeah.
Like, I turn the notifications off of, like, Instagram. So, like, whenever
I post,
because I'm like, my little peanut brain cannot handle all of that at once.
No.
I'll cry.
It's so much. I give authors all the props. Like, and now I understand why they, like, search out people to, like, try to help them, because they're like, I can't write another book and market something I wrote months ago. And I'm just like, I completely understand.
Yes. Because I'm like making graphics, like, literally at, like, 12:30 at night.
They're always so beautiful, by the way, folks. Like, truly. She has nailed her author marketing from day one. I could honestly never. We would see a huge shift of when I finally got my shit together on an author page.
I can, like, say with confidence, I have no idea what the hell I'm doing.
It's,
like,
well, you're killing it.
I'm glad you think so. Because,
like, I love it.
Like, I feel like I'm failing, or I should be doing more, or should be doing something else. And I'm like, I don't know.
Do you have go-to people, though, that you can go to, like, author friends that can help guide you? Or are you truly just trying to flounder on your own? Because you're doing great, but do you have help to guide?
Yeah. Oh, it's so tough because, like, I don't like to ask for help or, like, be needy. Like, I just get, like, I'm just... So, like, I am just taking on, like, the brunt of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, if I, you know, hit, like, rock bottom, I'm like, okay, like, I need to reach out to somebody. Like, I don't know, like, what I'm doing. Or, like, ask for advice. Or, you know, reach out to other Bookstagrammers. And, like, what do I do? What do you see? What do I do?
Yeah.
Like, because, like, sometimes I have no idea, like, what.
Absolutely.
Post. Or, like, marketing the book and, like, doing, like, the teasers. I'm like, I don't know what to tease. Like, I don't know what, like, is marketable. Like,
right.
I know I wrote the book, but I'm like.
That doesn't mean we know how to market.
I'm like, there's a lot of words in there that, like, I don't know which ones to pull out, like, to market. it. So
right, and it's a fine balance of you're trying to hook someone, tease them, but not give away too much. You know,
too much, right?
Yes, that's exactly it. Because I'm like, I still want to have the air of mystery and like, you know, draw people in. But then there are some people who are like, oh, I need more than just like.
Yeah. And I'm just I know like, there are some people that just they want all of the info before they go in, and you're like, well, the book's not out yet.
But I know the book's not out yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not even like fully officially edited because it's like with the editor now. So I'm like very nervous about like posting any teasers just because I'm like, what if I change?
You're like, what if they cut it?
Yeah.
You're like, what if they say to take it out after I've already marketed it?
Exactly. I'm like, so
we are going to dive in. To your full debut journey, but tell us, what does life look like on the everyday for you? What are you reading, or have you had time to read anything? Are you trying to read? Are you watching anything? Just chat a little bit about you. Yeah.
So day-to-day life, I have a day job, obviously. Luckily, I work from home, so like that's nice. I have the flexibility, and my only coworker is my dog, who just
I love your dog.
I love when we get to see your dog.
I have never met a dog that had such personality and attitude.
I love the pictures that you sent me when you're like, maybe this will make you feel better. I'm like, it does. The attitude coming through is crazy.
Yeah, like her like little eyebrows. Like she'll just look at me like, I don't know what this bitch is doing. And I'm like, you're like, no help. Like,
you're like, you're supposed to be my emotional support animal. And I'm supporting you.
Yes. Exactly.
The roles are reversed right now. What is happening?
Yeah. I'm like, I was like, you don't pay rent. I'm like, we feed you. Like, you do nothing.
Literally.
I was like, you're freeloading, like, in this house. Like, what is wrong with you? I lead a very boring life. I'm just a very boring person. Like,
I don't consider it boring. I consider it like a slower pace, but I appreciate that more than you know.
I love that so much.
As someone who took for granted their slow-paced life before a tornado toddler took over it, I don't think your life is boring at all. I think that you are just going with the flow.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I don't know. I'm always just like a very tired person. And
me too.
Like, I'll go, I don't know, get my hair cut at the doctor's office. And they'll be like, so is anything new? Like, what's exciting? I'm like, nothing's exciting. Like, and that's how I like it.
Yep. You're like, actually,
no
nothing.
New news.
And that's exactly
wonderful.
What I want.
Yes. Because like in my world, if something exciting does happen, it's always like
chaos.
That's not the kind of exciting we want. Yep. Like, we don't want that kind. We don't like that kind of exciting.
No. That's anxiety inducing.
Exactly. So I appreciate just the nice, slow, quiet life where it's just me, my husband, my dog, naps.
I couldn't tell you the last vacation. Time I had a nap. College, maybe?
I took a nap on our last girls' trip.
You did. You poor thing.
I'm pregnant, though, so hey. Leave me alone. So have you found any time to read, or which there's no pressure, or like do you find that watching things is easier now because you don't want to read too much while you were writing?
This is very funny because like when I am writing, I find myself reading less because I get into in my mind and I start getting like too, I start like editing when I'm reading and I'm like,
oh yeah.
Like, I'm like, this is how I would write it or this, that. And I'm just like, oh, God, like, stop. Like, this is like
becoming. You're like, it's supposed to be for enjoyment.
Yeah, I'm like, this isn't stuff. Like, I'm at this point. But we do watch, we've been watching a lot of reruns of, like, The Office. Like,
yeah, that's always a good one.
Office, Schitt's Creek, Parks and Rec, comfort shows.
Parks and Rec is everything. I would strive to be April Ludgate, just for anyone that's listening.
I've never watched any of those shows, I gotta admit.
Oh my gosh. There's no one I love more than April Ludgate.
I've watched random episodes, but like a full season, I've never watched them. Like, I don't know why.
She's just so like, don't talk to me, and you're a man, so go away. And I'm just like, you know what? I feel that in my soul.
And Andy is just like happy to be there.
Oh my gosh. He's hilarious.
Yeah. So that the Great British Baking Show,
this was a good year. This was a good season.
It was a really good season. It was a really good season.
We just talked about Great British Bake Off in the last episode because I'm obsessed.
So good.
Like, SJ Tilly has like holiday novellas that are based off of The Great British Bake Off, and they're so good, honestly, and spicy. I highly recommend if you ever want a quick little read.
No, I saw those and I have my eye and I'm like, I'm just going to slip those. You're like,
those are actually going in the TBR. Yeah.
Yes. That's just really, and then I have started just researching a lot for like book two. So I'm reading like just like a lot of like articles and things like that. Like that's just how like my brain like will hyperfixate on something.
Yeah.
And I will need to learn everything there is to know, like about.
Did you think that going in that it would be so much like behind the scenes stuff?
No. Like I'm just did not realize like the amount of research that goes into.
I'm proud of you for doing that, though. If I don't want to sound weird, but like, because I feel like some authors, no offense, maybe don't do as much research.
Take the easy way out, yes. And then you can kind of tell when you're reading it that they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, so I'm impressed that you're starting off doing such in-depth research. That's so wonderful.
Yeah, so, and like, that's like just so important to me, because like, I love to fact check. I love to, like, you know, I don't just read one article and be like, okay, like, this is great. I'm like, no, like, I need, like, five supporting articles to support that one article.
Yep.
And I'm just, like, very, like, I save it. Like, the nerd in me is like, okay, we have to save the link out just so we can come back, like, just in case. Like, back in college and, like, doing, like, the bibliography.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Save this.
Like, did just, we source correctly?
Exactly. To realize, like, okay, I need to calm the fuck down.
Like, you're like, actually, no one's in looking in it this deeply besides me.
I know, exactly. I'm like, I'm the only
Nobody's
one.
Nobody's gonna care, like, but I do.
I know. I'm like, I care, and hopefully maybe somebody else will care someday, one day. I don't know.
They will. When the facts line up and there's no holes, they're going to be like, this was great, which we all knew it was going to be, clearly.
That has always been, like, my biggest, like, fear. So, like, my undergrad is in journalism.
Oh, okay.
I am very, like, I want to make sure that I leave no stone unturned. Like, I need to make sure that everything, there's no plot holes, there's no this, there's no that. And, like, when I was sending, like, the book to the beta readers, I'm like, I need people to tell me.
Yeah.
If, like, you spot any plot holes.
Like, yeah, like, not yes men. We need, like, this is wrong.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is... I mean, they did their job exactly. And, like, they, like, pulled out things where I was like, oh, my God, like, you're so right. Like, I messed
up. Good work.
You're like, I left that door right on open.
I left it right open. Okay. Like, perfect. Like, no, because that's exactly what I need. Because, like, that's, like, I always have a hard time watching movies because I end up picking up plot holes. I'm like, what about that? What about that? And, like, my husband's like, can you just, like, watch the movie? And I'm like... No, because now I can't focus on anything.
Mine's not, I don't pick out the plot holes, but I can absolutely tell you what any book or movie is going to be about probably within the first three chapters. And my husband looks at me and goes, don't even say anything. Just don't say it. And I'll be like, but I know who the killer is. It's literally that random guy in the back corner. Like, look how he's staring. And he'll be like, that's why are we watching five seasons of this shit? But I like finding authors that, like, I can't catch it. Like, I found a couple this year that I'm like, I have... Like, I feel like an idiot halfway through, and I'm like, is that a red herring? I'm like, I think I'm not doing too well this time. So, reading. Were you always a reader? So you said that you did journalism, so you've always liked kind of being in this space, but did you read as a child? Was it always leading more towards the romance land, or how did you become the anxiety reader first? I love the title, by the way. It's
I do,
so
too.
Mean.
I'm so happy you like it. I thought it was clever when I first came up with it.
It is.
Like,
never give that handle up. Literally never.
That's one of my finer moments in life. No, so I read a lot when I was a teenager.
What were you into?
Twilight, of course.
Like, literally, that's my girl right there. Yeah. Now the question is, Team Edward or Team Jacob?
Bella's dad.
Yes! I love when people say, well, why aren't we talking about Charlie Swan?
Does he have the mustache?
Yes.
Okay.
And he's like, she's like, my favorite Charlie Swan moment. Sorry, folks. This is what I'm telling you about, Sam. Like, I love a random tangent. My favorite Charlie Swan moment and where she's like, I'm going on a date with Edward Cullen. And he's like, with the shotgun. He's like, bring him in. And I'm like, oh, that was the moment I fell in love with Charlie Swan.
I remember sitting in the movie theater and I felt like my brain chemistry altering.
Literally alter. You were like, you know what? My
16-year-old self is like, am I into yeah, I am.
The mustache, the PBR, the shotgun, the flannels that Charlie is always, something biblically changed in me when I saw it instead of just red.
Yes, exactly.
What else were you reading besides Twilight?
I read a lot by this author. Her name is Sarah Dessen. I remember reading.
Yes, I did too.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. 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 I know. One book I loved was called like Along for the Ride.
Yeah.
I remember reading that, and I was like, oh my heart.
Her covers were always so like, this is the shot of a beach, but you only see one person's foot in it.
Yeah.
Literally, Britt. Those were the covers. Like this one, we're in a forest, but like you'll see a girl's elbow in the corner. Like her covers were
romance-ish?
Romance light. I think they were more like Fade to Black, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely like, I don't know how to say this, and I hope you, but like Christian girls would definitely be reading those books. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, it's not.
I'm shocked that I haven't read it then.
They are very like Christian girl autumn coded.
Yeah, they are.
So I really liked her though growing up. I did read her too until one day I was like, who is writing 50 Shades of Grey? That was literally, I was like, what is that?
Yeah. Oh my God.
Did you read 50 Shades?
I did not.
I really enjoyed it.
Me neither.
Okay, I'm glad.
I just remember being like, I literally was reading it like, oh, I'm going to hell. Like, that was actually the thought I was thinking in my head.
I remember the time that it came out and everyone else was talking about it, but I, for some reason, just wasn't a huge reader at that time and never felt the urge to go down that road. And even now, I haven't. I'm not opposed to it.
I will not lie to you. I watch all three of those movies probably once a month.
Do you really?
I swear. I can quote every single line. I know like all the soundtracks. I don't know what it is about them. I really like the movies.
Well, it's because you like Twilight too. And didn't
they? It's literally a Wattpad fan fiction based off of Edward and Bella. I know. I can't get enough of it though. And then my mom, I remember when I was really started like watching them all the time. My mom was like, that's just a guy that like beats her. And I was like, you don't know anything about Christian Grey, let me tell you.
And then, like, 26-year-old billionaire too.
Literally the youngest billionaire to ever walk Seattle. And she's like, I just graduated with a random journalism degree and I'm gonna interview him. And then she's like, I'm so quirky. I don't know, I just ate that shit up because I love Bella. I love Bella so much. And it was so obvious that she was Bella, this in a different font.
Yes. Absolutely, like down to like the hair color,
down to the weird facial expressions, like with the jaw. Oh, I love it. Did you read any other fantasy, like Hunger Games, or did
that? I tried getting into the Hunger Games, and then I just couldn't. And then went to college, and I kind of like dropped off from reading.
Yeah.
For like a few years, and then
you were probably so busy with doing your own stuff for journalism, right?
Yeah, and so like you're just like immersed in that world, and just like, you know, it's like by the time you've seen have like written everything, you're like, I can't see another word, I can't read another word, I can't do any of that. And so it wasn't until I met my husband when we first started dating, we would always go to like this little bookstore, this little indie bookstore. And that's where I started just like picking up like little like books here and there. And they just range from like, you know, literary fiction to like, one of them were like short. I remember they were like short ghost stories or you know, things like that. Like just like little like random things like here and there. And then, you know, because I'm originally from Michigan. So then, like, when I moved from Michigan to California, which I'm in now, I kind of just stopped reading. Because I'm, like, I was just overwhelmed and adjusting. And also, I was going to grad school. So I was just, again, like, with the, like, you're reading everything else, like, you just have no.
Yeah.
Do you ever miss the seasons?
I'm sorry?
Do you ever miss the seasons of Michigan?
All the time. Like, I miss...
Really?
I miss snow. I miss it. Like, I... Okay, because, like...
Out here, I'm like, ew!
I know.
I appreciate it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I have an appreciation for it, though.
I think it looks pretty if I'm in my house and it's 80 degrees in here.
It's just, like, out here, like, because it's around Christmas time, it doesn't feel like it. Like, yeah. It's literally, like, spring weather. Like... Out here.
Yeah,
60s.
That would be a hard change.
Yeah, it was definitely like a huge adjustment. Like, yeah. And like where we're at, like we don't get much rain either. So
it's wow,
blue skies 24/7, and like some people love that, right?
Are you south than?
I'm northern.
California. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't look at me for geography, girl.
No. Don't talk about time
I can't
zones.
Figure out fucking time zones. I don't know geography. Like, listen. That is not me.
No, it's just like, it's such a, especially because like, you know, my family's back in Michigan and it's 3 hours ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. We're 3 hours ahead.
Yeah. See, I don't know either. And I'm an idiot.
I only know that from right now, today, scheduling with you. But I did have to text her, Britt. I was like, I fucked up. I gave you the wrong time because time zones, which it wasn't right. It was earlier. It was like a day or two ago.
No, I still get it messed up all the time. Like I'll text my mom or I'll be on like a group chat with my family. And my brother's like, you know, everybody's sleeping, right?
And I'm like, what do you mean it's 7 o'clock?
You need to simmer down. Okay, stay in your lane. Okay. Ignore this text message. Why are you answering anyway?
Literally just stop.
Turn your do not disturb on. Mind your business.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Do you remember what led you to picking up your first like true romance book? Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember what it was. Like, okay, there have been some like pivotal moments.
Yeah.
So about 2.5 years ago, my dad had passed away unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. And I was just like experiencing the worst anxiety I've ever had in my entire life. Like, cause I have never experienced a loss so deep like that.
And it was like truly unexpected. No one knew, correct?
I was talking to my dad 12 hours before, and the next day I got a call and he was gone.
Yeah.
And it was just like that. Your body's just like in complete shock. And it was also 52 days before my wedding and he was going to walk me down the aisle.
Oh, Sam.
So it was very, very tough, very difficult, like such an adjustment. And for like months after, I was like, I just need something. I don't know what to do. And I had downloaded like the Kindle app on my phone and I just like started just like reading again. I was like, okay, like maybe I'll read, and like nothing was hitting. And then I saw like a romance book was recommended to me. And then I started reading it and I was like, oh, my brain is shutting off. Like my brain shuts down and there was a happily ever after. And I was like, woo, okay. So it's like low angst, nothing super like anxiety inducing, like a thriller. Like I wasn't on edge.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, here we go. Like I'm going to go slide down this slope. And like, that's when it just started tumbling. Like, and I just started like just reading all like these different types of romances and just like dipping my toes in. I had no idea about tropes. I had no idea what was closed door, open door. Like I knew like none of that.
Same.
And I was just like, when I read my first like wide open door, I was like, ooh, whoa. Okay. Wait a second.
You're like, they used some vocabulary I did like, not know on here.
I was like, wow, these are words that I did not learn in journalism. I was like, wow.
Very descriptive.
I was like, am I into this?
I'm feeling something. What am I feeling? I like, what is happening?
Like, I was like, I'm digging this vibe.
Yeah.
Like, good vibe. So then I just started like consuming them.
Yeah.
And then like the first book that like stands out was Kate Canterbury's In a Jam. And I remember reading that in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was the first book that like I wanted to like go home and read. Like I would be out with friends and I would be like, no, like I need to get home and read this book. And that's when I knew like I was going down this slippery slope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's steep. Once you're on that slope, you can't get off.
No. And then I discovered Cowboy wrote Elsie Silver. And then I was like, oh, we're going down. We're going down. And
Cowboy romance has truly changed like game, I think, for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I feel like everyone has a moment where they're like, well, then I found a cowboy. And I'm like, there we go. There it is. Because I used to never read small town or cowboys because I grew up in a small town where everyone wanted to be cowboys. And we're in fucking Ohio. So let that just sink in. We're in Cornfield City and they're like, yeah, I'm a cowboy. Wrong. Literally wrong. But I remember when I first like read one and I was like, this is nothing like my small town.
No.
This is way better. These are real cowboys.
I can get down with this.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's just how I just kind of like slid down that slope. And then I had a Bookstagram loosely, but it was like secret. So like privated everything. And I was just like one of those creepy ones.
One of the lurkers.
Yeah. You know how you get like one of those followers that have like no profile picture? That was me.
I'm always a little sus when I see those. I'm like,
no, I know. So like, just know there's somebody like me behind it.
Yeah, that's hilarious, honestly.
Sometimes, Sam, there's not though, okay?
Sometimes there's not a thought behind that account. Someone just made it.
Yes, that's true. That's true. But like, I was like a little lurker and I was just like, you know, just hiding in the bushes. Like just like
I lurked too. Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, okay, maybe like I'll just open this up and make like a full like Bookstagram thing and like get reviews and things like that. And then I discovered Canva and I was really bad at it.
Oh my God. I love Canva.
I love it now.
Same. But man, yeah. I was the first bad one. At it. Lord have mercy.
Yeah. I look back at my first edits and I'm like, what the fuck?
I know. I'm like, wow. Like you have no sense of like color or like anything.
Or those fonts don't go together literally at all. You just picked two random fonts.
Exactly. And that's what I did. And I don't know what I'm doing. And had like a little, because I didn't want to show my face. So I had like a little icon made and I was like,
it was so cute though. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
And I love it still.
I love it. And then I had asked the same girl, I was like, can you add my dog in there? Because I was featuring Kira. And she's like, yeah. And I was like, great. Throw Kira in there too. Like, we'll just throw like you and my dog. But yeah, so that's kind of how, like, I was like, that's how kind of like my, like the reading journey and how the slope that I went down kind of started. And yeah.
When you were like in your most active, so the anxiety reader's going on, you're like open up now, you're ready to talk, what were you like leaning towards once you started to read tropes? Like, what was your favorite trope that you used to read? And is it the same now?
It's the same. Yes, I would have to say it's the same now. So like, I've always loved Opposites Attract, Grumpy Sunshine, like Reverse Grumpy Sunshine, or like the Black Cat Golden Retriever, and like Small Town. Those were like the ones I like gravitated towards the most. I also do dabble in like Mafia.
I love a good Mafia.
I'm just like, I'm such a rule follower. So I'm like, ooh, if I can just like experience this from a safe distance and it's fake.
And it's fake. And it's me. Real. Those are always the ones where I'm like, dude, this is totally happening in Chicago right now as I read it. I'm always like, you're out there somewhere, dude.
No, I'm like, the idea's got to come from somewhere. And I'm right. I was like, what do they know? Like,
I know. What do they know that I don't know?
Yeah, I was like, is there like an underground mafia ring that they're, you know, passing diamonds back and forth? I mean, who knows? Yeah.
Who knows?
And why haven't they came and told me I'm some long lost mafia princess? That's what I always want to know.
Exactly. I'm like, did my dad like forget to tell me that he was like part of the mafia now?
I'm
the mafia princess.
Can you imagine those, Sam? If it just randomly came out years later.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. Like, knowing my dad wouldn't be surprised. Like, I would be like, yeah, this is on.
You're like, that actually checks out.
Yeah.
Full send.
Like, we all would know about it until, like, you know, 10 years later and be like, yeah, this makes sense. Okay. Yeah,
sure. Looking back on so many things. Oh, okay.
Now they're like, I was like, you're like, I actually have a lot of uncles now that I think about it.
I know. Dad was in the Navy and he would say, like, there's a lot of things I can't tell you. Now I'm like.
My dad always pulled that with me, too. But I do believe him, though, because he, like, jumped out of helicopters, like, was first boots on the ground. So he's like, I can't tell you that. And I'd be like, you know what? Slay. I'd be like, I understand. So you're using romance books and reading and you're trying to heal and cope. And then at some point, did you think it just wasn't working as much? Did you feel like you hit a wall that you needed to get over to actually, not that you weren't grieving and stuff, but did you get to a point where you were like, there's a bigger hill to climb in the grieving process that led you to become romance author?
So it's so funny because I was talking to my mom about this the other day. For like the last like few years, mm-hmm. well, probably like 10 years. Like if I would tell you like my life story, you'd be like,
Damn, okay. I have been privileged. Not that it's privileged, but like we've been coming closer and we've talked and I agree with that statement wholeheartedly.
People have always said like, you should write a book. Like you're such a good storyteller and this and that. And like, and I'm like, no, I'm like, no one's going to want to like, you know, read a book by me. Like, absolutely not. I was like, and it takes a lot of work and I'm very lazy and I don't know if
I feel that laziness.
And I'm just like, there's just like so much.
And it just takes so much time. Like, even if you don't want, if you want to overcome the laziness, it's still just time.
Yes.
Endless amounts of hours.
Yes. Very airy time consuming. And so like one day, like I had just been like tossing the idea around back and forth in my head because it was over Christmas. I think it was really bad with dates, but there was one Christmas like after my dad had passed. And I remember like trying to find a book that mixed that, because I was really grieving. Like I regressed in my grieving process.
Yeah.
Like according to my like therapist, I really regressed. And I was just looking for a book that where I could relate to like the grief of a character, but was still funny and lighthearted.
Yeah.
And so for like months after that, all I could think about was like, I wish there was a book that like, you know, was like, was funny, but like also like dealt with grief.
And, like real heavy topics, like true life situations that aren't mafia.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like one thing my dad had like said to me was like growing up, he was like, Sammy. He's like,
that's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, you, I have to give you credit. Like anytime like you're hit with like an obstacle or anything, he's like, you still keep your sense of humor. And like that was true, like in the grieving process. Like I still kept it light.
Sam, can I tell them that I love your dark sense of humor?
Yeah.
Sometimes I get worried when I meet new friends that I'm like, they're going to think I'm actually mentally insane, which like maybe, but like I love dark humor because I've gone through a lot too. And so when you and I started like texting and stuff and you would use dark humor, I was like, oh, this is a girl who has been through it, but like still wants to laugh through the pain.
Exactly. I always make the joke to people. I'm like, oh, it's like, well, I have a dad, but you know, he went up north and like,
Sam!
Back home and it's
you're
just like
he's in another place.
Yeah, I was like, he just like, you know, went up north and he hasn't come back. And I was like, it just sucks, but you know, it is what it is. And it's like a running joke like in our family now, because I first like said that and my mom was like, what?
What did you say?
Like, it took her a moment.
So, do you Oh, no, please go ahead.
Oh, no, go on.
I was just going to say, so did you look, do you think you were searching for a long time and it was honestly just getting to the point where it pissed you off because it just wasn't there?
Yes, because, like, and I would start DNFing books because I was like, because grief is, again, like, grief is very personal. Like, people grieve different ways. And, like, I was just like, I just need something where, like, you know the person is grieving, they have their moments, but they're still living their lives.
Yes.
Like, that's what you do. Like, what your life just doesn't stop.
Right.
Like, you
can't
going
stop.
Forward.
It keeps going. Yeah.
Exactly. And, like, you know, moments happen where you'll literally be in the middle just doing a mundane thing, and then you'll drop to the floor crying because something just reminds you of it.
I feel like that is always how grief hits in the worst times. It's literally when you're like eating pasta, watching freaking Glee or something, and you're like, okay, I'm uncontrollably sobbing. And sometimes you can't even put together like why your brain triggered you. And that is really hard to understand and like overcome as well. It's because you're like, why is this making me have this grief in this moment when it's like literally buttered noodles?
Yeah, exactly. Like I was eating blueberries and like my husband was working from home and was on a meeting and like I'm eating blueberries and they were like my dad's favorite fruit. And then all of a sudden I'm looking out the window at the construction workers eating my blueberries, just start breaking out sobbing. My husband comes out. He's like, what is happening?
What happened?
He's like, what did those construction men do?
I'm like, it's nothing. It's the blueberries. It just reminds me of my dad. And my husband's like, I
would have like, well, grief is weird.
Yeah, he's like, what do you need? Like, what can I do for you?
Yeah.
Exactly. What a good
and
man.
And it sucks because I feel like there are always these great people in our lives who want to help you, but there's literally nothing. There's truly nothing they can do. It's like you just have to live through it. And then, like, you literally stop crying and you're like, well, that was fun. Do you want to get ice cream?
I had my therapy session before, like, a work meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sobbing. And I was, like, 2 minutes late, and, like, I got in the meeting. I was like, sorry, guys. I was just on therapy talking about my dead dad. What's on the agenda this week? And
like, people are like, we do not expect that type of honesty, but I love it.
I love it.
Exactly.
I love it.
Because I'm just like, it's easier just to be transparent.
Yes.
I think that's a big thing I've learned with grief. Obviously, different grief. But I feel like so many people are just afraid to talk about grief, like in any case at all, 1%, 100%, no one was talking about it. And so I was like, well, I'm gonna talk about it because I don't know how to live my life without letting everyone else know that, like, this is actually what's happening. And I feel like that was a huge portion in my, like, healing with some of my grief. It's just acknowledging it. I think everyone else wasn't acknowledging it, so I was like, oh, well, I shouldn't acknowledge it then because it's going to make them uncomfortable. But as soon as I stopped caring truly about making other people uncomfortable with my grief, I feel like I finally stepped out a little bit of it.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's, like, spot on because it's a part of you, right? Like, and it changes you. Like,
for sure.
I remember, like, months after my dad had died, I remember looking in the mirror and I'm like, I don't know the girl.
Who I am.
Looking back at me, like, I don't even recognize her.
Yeah.
And, like, you just, like, you know, and I had, like, read some articles that grief, like, really does, like, change something in your brain. Like, it does. And so it's like when you just, like, when I just learned to accept that, I felt like I was healing better.
Yeah. It's like, it's a really weird step, I feel like, but I always say, like, you're learning to live with the uncomfortableness of it all. But I feel like that is one of the most, like, important things to hit is, like, because people will be like, you're doing so good. And you're like, I'm not. I just have learned to live with exactly the circumstances that are around me now.
Exactly. Or people will be like, oh, like, I didn't know, like, you were, you know, it's, you know.
You put on such a brave face, or you're smiling, or you're just so happy. You're like, because that's just how you push through.
How exhausting, though, too, you know, to feel like you have to be like that for other people when you just don't have the energy for it.
Because I would always get like, you used to be so bubbly. Well, my bubble popped, shattered real quick. Yeah. So, like, now you're looking at without the bubble for a long time.
Exactly. Yeah. And it just, like, hits you in the face. And you're like, well, like, this is who I am now. And if, like, you know, people don't like it, then that's their issue. Like, that's not mine.
I know. And I've always been, like, anxious. And I truly have always cared what other people think. But I feel like part of me turning that off was just, like, learning to be like, if you don't accept my grief, then, like, I have truly no place for you in my life.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I'm not going to stop talking about it. It's never going to go away. I think that's the thing is people are really like, well, eventually you...
When are you going to get over that?
You know, like, time heals all. Does it? I don't think it does. I think time lets you learn how to live with pain.
Yeah.
And I think if more people just realized it, we could all get along better. Truly.
No, absolutely. 100%.
So you're healing. You can't find it. It's pissing you right the fuck off. And you're like, I'm going to write a new leaf. Was a new leaf always a new leaf?
It was always a new leaf.
I love the title, by the way.
Awesome.
The title was always, like, in my mind, a new leaf, but, like, the story had changed, like, significantly, right? And, like, I remember, like, waking up one morning, and I'm like, I think I'm going to write a book. I think that's what I'm going to do. And, like, only told, like, a few people, and they were, like, super excited for me, so I'm like, this is great. And then it was getting started was the hard part. And I remember we were sitting in...
I literally can't start. Yeah. I don't know how to start.
You and me both. I was sitting in the airport, and my husband's like, and we were about to go, like, on a vacation. Like, we were about to go to Hawaii, and my husband's like, pull up a Google Doc. He's like, and just start writing. So I was like, oh God, like this is really weird. And like I started
like writing. Cringe, right? It's even though it's not, but you're like, why is it so cringe?
I look back at like what I first wrote, I'm like, ooh, don't like that.
You're like, ooh, that was actually clearly just random thoughts on paper.
I was trying to find my voice and like it was not happening. And then it started like then we when we got back is then like when I just started like typing away, and then I could feel myself wanting to box myself in because I'm like, oh, like I don't want to say this or I don't want to do that. And then finally I was just like, fuck this. Like,
yeah. I have to write what it's coming to me.
Exactly. I'm like, I have a dark sense of humor. There's,
I love it.
Thank you. I was like, there's a little like, weirdness. Like,
truly, I literally love it. Because I have it. That's why I'm like, I think that joke is literally 100% PC. It's clearly not. It's clearly the most depraved joke. And I'm like, PC, put it in the book.
It's like, so good. Like, this is like, you know, great content. But I was like, what was it? I was just...
Were you afraid? Did you think, like, people weren't going to enjoy it? Like, yes. Because of the humor that you... But you Because yeah. That's how you were coping with it?
Yes. Because, like, according to my mother, I've always had...
Sorry.
I've always been a little quirky. That's her word for me. She's like,
you're so Tina. Quirky. You're Tina Belcher.
Yeah.
So am like, I. There's always one in every family, and I'm it as well.
There is. And she's like, sometimes I'm a little quirky, a little weird. And I'm like, sometimes my humor doesn't land with people. And I was just like, whatever. I was like, I'm just going to do it, throw it in there, and, like, just... like started doing like the bantering back and forth, and then it just started coming natural to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is perfect. I'm like, this is exactly like, because like my inside thoughts that I've wanted to say were now becoming outside thoughts. I'm like, oh, this is nice. Like, it feels nice getting
how,
these thoughts
like,
out.
Fulfilling to have that release then to get it out there.
It was like,
yes.
Yes.
And no one can judge you for it because it's not even out in the world or anything. You're like, it's there.
Exactly. And I'm like, this is an inappropriate joke, but it doesn't matter because no one's going to see it.
Exactly.
Unless I like cut it out. But then I just started like, you know, falling into it. And then I remember I had messaged like a portion to my friend who isn't a romance reader. And I was like, can you read this? And she's like, the characters sound too alike. So then I'm like going back and I'm like, okay. And then I start, you just start tweaking like the voice, which was really fun.
Who came to you first, FMC or MMC? And are you and your husband these characters, or are there a lot of pieces of you? Or
there are pieces of me, and the pieces of him are like the body composition of my MMC. Okay, because I'm like
as soon as I saw your cover, I was like, that is I've seen this man before.
Yeah,
I was like. In pictures with your dog.
Yes, exactly. And I was like reading all like these books and like their men are like big and buff and just like, you know, and I'm like, where are the lanky nerds? Like
because
I call my husband a pipe cleaner. I'm like, where are the pipe cleaner men? Right?
Like, but it's so true. Like, where are the tall, lanky, nerdy, glasses wearing guys?
Because exactly.
Normally they're wearing glasses and they're like, I'm a billionaire. And I'm like, huh? No,
I was like, I need just like a tall spaghetti man, like unusually tall. Like, because my husband's like 6'7", 6'8".
I was going to say, can we just let them know how tall your husband is?
Yeah, he's very tall.
Talk about an inappropriate comment. The day Sam told me her husband was 6'7", I was like, well, the jokes have to start with something. And I was like, so is his foot also 6'7"? I think that's one of the first times I ever talked to Sam in the DMs, and she was like, you know what? This is good.
I like this person. I love this. But yeah, so like that part is him, because I'm just like, oh, like, you know, body diversity, like, you know,
yes.
What if there's a guy out there who's like, you know,
hey, I want more dad bods out there, okay?
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely.
And I'm just like, you know, there's got to be a guy out there who's reading who's like, oh, but I'm not really muscled, I'm really lanky or you know, narrow. And so like that's what I took from I love my husband, but my husband's not as charming as my MMC.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think they should always be more charming in a book.
So. Yeah, no, I think so too. And it's funny because like my FMC, like her previous job before the plant store, because she owns a plant store, was software engineer. And so she has a little bit of the few like awkward qualities of a software engineer, which my husband is. And on both sides, I'm like, let's just bring in both sides and see, you know, what we can create.
I love it. My brother-in-law is a software engineer, so I love that.
Yeah.
My husband's an engineer. Are those
software engineers are different breed. I say it with so much love.
You're like, so peace and blessings.
Yeah. But they with so much love, but they are a different breed.
So what was kind of like, I know you talked about some, but like, did you find a spot like when you were going there, you really just hit your stride and you were like, you took off and it just became easier and easier?
Yes. So it was after they met. So they met in like chapter 4.
Okay.
Five. And that's when everything started like kicking, like going, I was like coming up with, because I didn't plot it or plan it. Like I literally just like sat down, like wrote it chronologically.
That's even crazier because I bet that is so hard.
Well, yeah.
But like how good on you though, that your brain was, my brain would never.
My brain was working over, my brain was tired. She was very tired. Like I started like after like when they met, like is when I started like getting my stride. And then it was funny because I started like pulling in aspects of grief and originally wasn't adding grief in there. And then I was like, ooh, but this kind of fits.
Yeah.
Right. So
can you tell us like a little bit about them and like how they meet maybe?
Okay. So like one thing that like people don't know, and it's because I like when I first started like the author account, like I'd like meet the characters, but people like kind of forget. So Finn, my MMC, his dog, Frank, is blind.
Blind, right? Oh. Okay. Yeah.
Blind. Okay. So there was like a lot of research going into that, and the meat disaster happens because.
Disaster. Yeah. That.
Not a meat.
The meat disaster.
Disaster. Yeah. So he is the cause of like the meat disaster. Like Frank
in the plant store, or is this, or did you? And he owns a coffee shop, right?
A coffee shop. Yeah. So he had just like moved to the fictional town Hemlock and had like opened up a coffee shop. And like it was like after hours, and he looks down, and his dog's not there, and he's like, "Where is the dog?" Like, dog, you know, and he's blind and he's like, oh my god, like
I can't believe my blind dog got out.
Exactly. And he like pulls up on his phone, sees that Frank is like a few stores down, and then he goes in, and Frank had like made a complete mess of like the store and got scared and spooked and just like hid under a table. And it was just, yeah.
Oh, the cover. I know I just said it, but like the cover is so perfect for the meat disaster. Like it's so good. I cannot wait for you to show everyone.
I know. I can't wait to release it. By the time, Yeah, it's good. And like the character art too is like from that scene of like when they meet. So.
It's so good, you guys. Yeah. I've been a little privileged.
Can I ask you how you came up with your MMC's name?
My MMC's name is because when my husband and I, like, we talk about, like, future, if we have kids, like, what would their names be? Mm-hmm. And I was like, Finn. And my husband's like, no. And I'm like, well, that's disappointing.
It's not funny, but it's, like, the most stereotypical conversation you have with your partner.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, like, same thing with Charlie. Like, I was like, I want a name. Like, if we have a girl, I want to name her Charlotte, nickname for Charlie.
Yeah,
and my
cute.
Husband's like, My husband's like, no. And when he was an undergrad, his like roommate had like a parrot that was just like an asshole.
In the door?
Yeah. That was allowed? Like a bird. Like, it was just, you'd have to hear it from him. But my husband's like, this bird was just like the biggest asshole. And its name was Charlie. I will never name.
He's scarred for life.
He is scarred for life. So I was like, all right, Charlie and Finn, that's what it is.
I love it.
I love it too.
Love it. So tell us like just anything and everything, honestly. Like you've told us a bunch, but is there any, like what else can you give us a little bit?
So it's a 3-book series.
Is it? I didn't know if it was going to be a duet or three.
So it follows the Thorne siblings. So their last name is Thorne. So it follows.
Is that her or him?
Her.
Okay.
So you have the youngest, which is Joey. And then you have Charlie, which is the middle child. And then you have the oldest, which is Jack, which is the older brother. Yeah. And so it's going to follow.
Is Joey a girl or a boy?
Joey's a girl. Okay. Yeah. So like, it's so funny because I really liked like gender neutral names because my dad had said like, you know, if I have a girl, I want to name her Samantha and then have her nickname Sam.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, if they thought like, you know, Sam was coming in, they thought it would be like some guy, but it's mm-hmm. really like this girl that comes in. And
honestly,
you know.
I love that little micro trope, just so everyone knows that whenever they're like, I put an ad out for a new hire and I think this guy's gonna be awesome, and it's like some blonde bombshell that walks in and she's like, hi, I'm Derek, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know, I eat it up every time though. No, so same. Your dad is on, was on to something, truly.
I like literally like same thing, and I was just like, okay, like we're just gonna do it, it'll be like Josephine, Joey, Charlotte.
Oh, Josephine.
Yeah, and then their middle names, it's funny because like their parents were very like flower child, like they and I wouldn't be surprised if they ended up at Woodstock, like
yeah,
you know,
and those are like, my kind of people.
Yeah. Like their middle names are like flowers, so
it's, oh, I love
Charlotte Rose. And so like that's kind of, I was just like pulling in like the whole like botanical, like the flower, the leaf, the things.
I love
like
it. Those are the details that I appreciate. I am a small detail girl. Britt will tell you. I'm always like, did you pick up on that little detail? And she's like, no. I'm like, I did though. So she wrote that for me.
Oh, good. It's like, I really like the little details too, just because it gives it a little something extra.
Yeah. So three books. Did you know going in?
No.
Were you just like, this is a standalone, like?
Yeah, I was originally going in like, this is a standalone. Like, I just need you guys to know, like, this whole process has just been very, like, haphazard. Like, I don't know what.
Hey, that's my life.
Like,
I love it.
That's why I think it's so great, honestly, to have you on and talk about it, is because, not that it's a bad thing, but, like, some of these authors that are now really found their stride, it's like, I wonder if they really remember, like, the beginning steps because they have it all so put together.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you don't, but, like, I think it's nice to know, like, like a true, like, I was a romance reader the beginning of this year, and now I'm publishing in February. Like, I think that there's something so raw and unique about that. So I love that you're on and talking, because it is. This is real life. It's like, hey, I'm just throwing stuff together until we figure out what works.
Exactly. And, like, that's how it is. Like, I was writing, I think I had, like, 96 notes in my phone for one. And like, it was also like, I got really just like, I learned about like dialogue tags.
Yeah.
And don't always say or said, and I have like a list of like 100 dialogue tags or like action beats like in my phone, and was like, okay, all right, put that in there. Oh, he says no, what did he do when he said, and then like by the time like I finished like the first draft at the end of August, I was like, oh, I should make this a series, like, because I'm like, people are gonna ask about, because in the book there is like the family dynamic.
Yeah.
And like, people are going to ask about like the side characters, like they're going to want to know.
Did you have to go back then and lay more groundwork, or did you feel like you already had set enough of a teaser of who these other people could be?
Had to go back and lay down the groundwork, like right before I like sent it off to the beta readers. I had to go back and I'm like, okay, like I'm going to have to edit.
Do you think that was hard?
Yeah.
Do you think like that was harder than the two that came into your brain? Because like these were new.
Yeah, because like you have to think about it in a way where you want it to be a little like mysterious, so like it gives you room to like write their second book.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to like lock yourself into something. So like Jack is a single dad, and I was like, I like a good single dad.
Like, heck, literally obsessed.
He's like, and this is where like the weird quirkiness comes in. He's
give
a lumberjack. So he's a lumberjack named Jack. And like that's
give me the fucking book.
And like that.
Your Michigan roots are showing, young lady.
They really are. You know, Charlie mentions about like him wearing a flannel or something. It's like, wow, like you're really like leaning into that.
You were like, do you mean Charlie Swan? I see you. It's all coming back together, folks.
It's all coming back together. Like laying that where like you still want to give your like self like breathing room to like, you know.
But enough of a setup that like people aren't going to be like, this is not this character.
Yeah.
Because I have read some like that too, and that's not pressure. It's just like, I have read some in one of my favorite series. Like, you meet one of these siblings, and then it got to their book, and it's the worst. It was like my least favorite. I was like, how did this sibling come out of everything that you already laid for us? It's like they just completely went off track. So I can understand why you're like,
yeah, and no, and that's because it's especially with like the dialogue too. Like you want to make sure the dialogue. So like book two, because it'll be Joey's book, the younger sibling, like she has a little bit more of like a dark humor. So I was like,
love it. Like, do you want any of my jokes? Let me know.
Yeah, I'll tap you in. Like, because she mentions, like, with her, like, she picks up a phone call with, like, her brother and sister, and she calls them orphans because they don't have parents, right?
Yeah.
Because her parents die. So she's like, hey, orphans, how's it going? Like, just, like, or, like, at the end, like, you know, she asks how, like, what Finn's doing for the holidays, and he's like, oh, I'm going to see my parents. And Joey's like, oh, those must be nice to have those. And, like...
Those are the moments I live for.
And, like, her siblings are looking at her like...
What are you doing?
She must have been dropped on the head as a baby. Like, I don't know where this came from. Like, I don't know where she gets these from. So,
do you think that each book is all... Like, are you tapping into different sides of grief in each book? Or are you, like... Book one is grief, book two is anxiety, book three is like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so book one is like just heavily focused on grief. Book two, I'm still working.
No, that's okay. I just, but like, you're just typing in some different problems?
So, yes, exactly. Like each one has like their own like different set of things that I want to tackle and that are like important, you know, to offset that. So like there's some like heaviness, but then there's just some like laughter, like they make light of the situation of like that they're in. So each book, because I didn't want to make it like each one had like a grief element, but like each one will have
kind of like a mental health talk or topic.
And like it will go back to, there will be like one flashback like with their parents, and it's something that they carry throughout the entire book. Like like,
is it all the same event, and then you see all three of them, how they process and react to that same thing,
or no? No, so it's like they each have like their own like relationship with their...
Yes, okay. That you've just nailed something that I feel like a lot of authors miss. They all apparent, like a lot of times they make these 5-6 sibling large families, and they all had the same problem with their parents. How is that possible? My brother and sister and I completely are different, and our relationship with our parents are all three different. There's hardly any overlap, I feel like, genuinely.
No, and that's what I wanted to showcase. And I wanted to showcase that each siblings are very different. So like, I
love it immediately.
Book one is like Charlie and her mom. Book two is Joey and her dad. And so, like, they have that, like, relationship.
I love it.
Where, like, he gives her advice, and she kind of carries that with her. Yeah. Like, you know,
I think that makes it immediately so much more real. Like, so much more unique. Because there are just times where it's, like, you're reading. They're like, well, we have this problem, too, but it's in, like, a different font. You know, it's the guy, and now it's the girl. So I think that's great. Definitely kind of untapped, honestly, because like an untapped market, because sometimes I feel like we fall into these same, like, kind of ruts with when we're reading authors.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make it, like, I know, like, every author, like, wants to be different and everything, but, like, I really enjoy showing the dynamic of, like, how people are more than just, like, surface level, right?
Yes.
So, like, Charlie is grumpy, but I'm like, she's a lovable grump.
Yeah.
Like, people tolerate it. People love her. They're like, even though she's, like, a grouch, she has, like, all these layers where even though she's, like, an introvert, she's not cold.
You just have to be in her inner circle.
Exactly. You have to sit at her, be cool enough to sit at her lunch table. But it was just,
I don't think I'd be cool enough.
I wouldn't be cool enough either. Like,
happening?
You're like, is it Wednesday?
Like, I have thought about it. I'm like, would Charlie like me? And I'm like, no, she probably wouldn't tolerate me. She'd be like, this bitch.
Exactly.
And I'm like, listen, I created you. Shut your mouth. Okay?
Literally. Yeah. You can write her. You can tell her that too.
Exactly. But I really loved like making, because people are so like layered, right? Like they're so... Like, we're not just, like, one dimension.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to, like, have very, like, you know, even though she's grouchy and, like, doesn't like hugs, like, she, like, makes exceptions.
Or
she still does things because, you know, she can't say no. She's a people pleaser, even though she says that she hates people. You know, so it's, like, just that, like, dichotomy.
Did Sam just call me out live on fucking air?
This book is going to be for you. It's going
to rise. I'm like, so when are we beta reading? Like, I wrote two pages. Stop. So have you started, though? You said that you have started laying some groundwork for it. Are you trying to, like, plan book two out more?
Yeah, so book two, like, I already started writing it. I started writing the first two chapters and just kind of, like, getting, like, the feel of those characters. Because, like, in my mind, like, I will have, like, just an idea of, like, who they are. And, like, I'll look at the Myers-Briggs personality test and, like, I like to go through that and, like, see, like, oh, you know, who matches with what and, like, what's that relationship like. And it's really, like, super helpful. So, like, going through that and then I just start writing because, like, that's how I figure it out. So I can't. Like, even though I try to plot it, like, I tried plotting book two, but then, like, when I started writing, it went off the rails.
Oh, yeah. Immediately. You're like, my brain had completely other ideas.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Joey's going to be this, this, and that. And then I started writing it, and I was like, oh, no, she's not like that at all. Like, she is very, like, fly by the seat of her pants type of girl. And I'm like,
yeah.
All right, we're running with it. So.
This is fascinating to me because I don't have any type of author brain. So the fact that you're like, okay, she's going to be like this, but then like she changes direction. I'm like, how? What is happening? I know.
Yes. That is like the weirdest. It's the weirdest thing. The weirdest feeling because like you can, a lot of this is like going with your gut, right? And so like that's hard as someone who's just chronic anxiety.
Oh, God.
You're like, I don't know if I'm in fight or fucking flight mode. Like, I can't.
I'm always in flight. I'm like, I gotta go.
I know. Right? I'm like, how can I trust my gut? Like, ew. I don't know that. And so, like, going with that, like, I'll start writing, and then it's like you try to go in a different direction, but like your gut is like, ooh, this like something just it feels unsettled. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, and then you go back on the course of like, you know, whatever you're writing, and you're like, okay, but this feels right. So it's just like it's like the weirdest feeling. I don't even understand it. Like I said, I don't know.
I love it though.
I honestly love it because I feel like when you're researching how to write a book, everyone's like, if you're not organized and you better have 100 post-it notes on a mirror and a whiteboard. No. And so I'm like, okay, I have to become organized for the first time ever in my fucking life. You're joking, actually.
No, like when I tell you, like, when I started this, like, my laptop was 10 years old. It, like, had a fan that was so loud it sounded like it was about to take off, and it would heat.
Not take off!
It would heat to a temperature where, like, I'm like, you could easily, like, crack an egg on this. And
it's,
I'm
like, burning your legs if you're wearing shorts.
It's burning my lap. And my husband was like, okay, if you're going to stick with this, and he's like, now that you have like two other books planned, he's like, we're going to have to switch some. He's like, it's going to catch on fire. Then the apartment's going to burn down and then we're going to be liable for all this. I'm like,
well, you see, my wife was writing a novel.
Can you imagine? Oh Lord. The embarrassment. And it'd probably be some hot firefighter too. I'd be like, I was trying to write a chapter.
No, it's like I was just trying to write, you know.
How was writing Spice?
Yeah, I wanted to ask.
Can
that.
You, like, honestly, because I mean, we love to read it, and some of the things I read is questionable, honestly. Like, I can't even believe people write it. But, like, how was it tapping in, like, to that?
Oh my gosh.
Like, was it uncomfortable? Like, honestly.
Like, in the beginning, writing the Spice was it was a learning curve. I cringed reading it back. So, like, I would write it, and then I would put away my laptop and I could not look at it for like a week. Like, can't do it. So, and then when I would go back and I would read it with like one eye open, and I'm like, eventually I was just like, okay, I need to like figure out a more like easier way to do this.
Yeah.
And I just kind of like, just like shut down like all emotional parts of my brain, like feeling awkward. And I just started writing. Like I was just like a robot and just started like going for it.
Yeah.
And like just shutting off like that portion of like, oh God, this is so awkward, uncomfortable. Like, what if my mom reads it? My mom's gonna read it, so it doesn't really matter.
You that's got the here least of my some fucking ways, worries. Sam, so
for my mom, reads the nastiest, filthiest white juice I've ever heard in my whole life.
My mother-in-law like knows I'm writing a book. She has a book club, and I warned her. I was like, just to let you know. I was like, we're using different vocabulary terms for different anatomical parts of the body. And she was like, what do you mean? I'm like, I am not spelling it out for you.
I was like, can we give an
vulgar
example?
It's going to be vulgar, mother-in-law.
Like, yeah. So I was, and I remember like back in like some of the books that like I had read, like I had, it was like reading. So weird talking about this, like reading the descriptions and like how somebody's feeling, like,
yeah,
And like some of them, I'm just like, does that really, like, it doesn't make sense. So I try to like make it to where like it made more sense.
No, I love that.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can be so in like reading like a great spy scene, but then like one little thing is not plausible, or there's just no like functional way it would actually happen, and it takes you out. So I think that's great that you're really trying to be like, this is real. Like, this is real sex. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I was like trying to make it like realistic, but like also just like romantic and emotional, and like how like, because I say this, I'm like, Finn and Charlie, like, they just have like that type of relationship where it's just like very emotional, right? Yeah. And book two could be different. Well, book two is different because it is a one night stand, but
breaking into her house tonight.
Yeah. so like each, and I'm again going into the series, I'm like, okay, we're gonna have to make each experience with each couple, I want to make them different, because
that's, does something come from the one night stand?
No.
I was like, fuck no.
I love babies.
I had to ask.
I had thought about it, but then I was getting way too much like in my way, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm equipped to write about that. My skills aren't that good, right? Right out the gate, do the second book like that. Like, I need more confidence. But yeah, so that's where I'm kind of going, like, with the spice and the intimate relationships, is just making it very tailored toward each couple.
I love it.
So when you read book one, spice, you're like, oh, like, this is nice. And then book two, you're going to be like,
hot damn! Add another chili pepper to that writing.
What?
I love it. Do you know what book two's title is? I think titles are so hard, but when I like love reading a book, I mean, like, that's why it's that title, or like that ties into them. And I think that that's always so fun to like pick out and find.
Exactly. And trying to find, because like I feel like I can't start writing a book unless I have like the title in my mind. It's,
I mean,
weird.
That makes sense, because like it has to all fall under that umbrella.
Exactly. Because like, and they, people like to, or authors like to put the like title like in their book as well, as like a call out, which is what I wanted to do.
I won't lie to you. That's one of my most favorite things in movies, TV shows, books. Like, I find them every time.
I love it so much. But can I tell you, please, if you're going to do it for all three, because I read a series where only three out of the four had it, and I was annoyed. I'm not going to lie.
That pissed me off.
I was like, where is this fourth one? Because it was me and my bookstagram brain. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great for the edit, you know?
For quotes, then, yes.
I'm like, where the hell is the title, you guys?
There are some authors that, which I know yours is going to be amazing, but they do it so, like, I don't even, like, sometimes I'll be like, I don't know how that's going to fit in, like, to, like, when they're writing, like, their blurb or whatever, like, I'll just say it, Lena, like, she's always, like, this series is, like, just, and with this last one, the Just Between Us, I was like, how is that going to work? And then I was reading it, and I was like, that's how it's going to work! That's how it's gonna work. I don't know. I love that moment, especially in like movies and TV shows too. I'll be like, oh, they said the title. All right, let's go.
And like, I try to come up with, like, when I have the titles, like the what they would say it in, how they would say,
like,
it.
The context of it. So it's not just like thrown out there, like,
yeah.
A new leaf. Like, you're like, oh, by the way, we're just a new leaf. But you want it to like actually make sense and have good meaning behind it as well.
It's got to be impactful, because like when you read that line, you want to be like, damn, okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah, those are honestly some of my favorite ones. When I find it, I'll be like, oh, you hit my soul with
it. Definitely
that
gets a highlight.
So we've asked you a million questions, but do you have thoughts like for the future, like, just because my brain is always going, like, I'm writing 100 things at a time, honestly, in my phone.
I have a dark rom-com in mind.
Oh.
Because I really want to...
The way you're just, like, literally writing for Libby is crazy. I'm her muse, folks. Let's just get it out there. First and foremost, Father Lib is her muse.
I'm going to write, like, a dark rom-com, and it's just going to be, like, unhinged.
Please.
And it's going to be, like, probably very inappropriate.
Honestly,
like,
the best.
Yeah, I'm just gonna like go for it. And I had plotted it. Like, my husband and I went to the Grand Tetons, and we're like driving around, and we're plotting this dark rom-com, and we come up with this plan, and we're like, shit, that's really good. Like, it's really funny. And I
love that you're doing this together. That is so cool.
No, we're just like,
no, I think it's great. No. No, I bounce every idea off of Mr. Smut Daddy. Truly. Yes, like,
it's just a good baseline.
Because they're in our brains, like almost more than we are, because they have to know like how to handle us because we are so anxious. So I feel like he knows that when I'm asking him something, like it's important, it's serious, even if it might be silly. So they take it so seriously and they're like, well, what about this? And then normally I'm like, yeah. That's actually so good. Like, why didn't I fucking think of that myself?
I know. You get mad because you're like, oh, that's a really good idea.
You're like, your name's not going on the book, by the way.
Has he read the book?
Oh, yeah.
He has not. He was going to read it, like, once I, like, officially edit it. And he was going to, which I'm kind of nervous but excited about. But because I asked him, I was like, do you want to read it? And he's like, my husband's so nice, so polite. He's like,
he's so sweet, you guys. I love it. And your little moments where he's like, he edited like a little thing or he helped with research. I'm just like, but that warms my heart.
Yes.
And you married a real life book boyfriend yourself.
I did. Or like there was one day, like this was funny because it was like a week ago or a couple weeks ago. I had like wanted like a hot chocolate and I was like trying to communicate with him like telepathically and he didn't come home with one.
Were you mad? Be honest. Were you mad?
Naturally. I was like, dude. I was like, did you not?
You're like, I thought our fated mate bond had fully linked into place. What the fuck is going on?
Like, I thought you were feeling something coming back from golf. Like, I thought
you were picking up on my witchy vibes.
Exactly. And then, like, after that, like, he'll call me. He's like, I'm feeling a hot chocolate vibe. Do you have a hot chocolate? I'm just going to stop on the way home anyway and get you a hot chocolate. I'm like,
good man, Savannah. A good man. Yes.
But yeah, he'll read it. Yeah, no, he tried editing it, like, but doing, like, the first pass for, like, grammar. But, like, I love him to death. He was changing, like, the dialogue. He's like,
yeah.
This. And I'm like, you're fired.
Like, yeah. You're like, sorry, you're trying to write this for men now. And we're writing to please women for the most part. Exactly. Or men that like to read and think like women. You know what I mean?
Like, he reads espionage thrillers. And I'm like,
That's actually great. So he does read. He is a reader.
Yeah, he is.
Mostly thrillers?
Mostly, yes. I'm looking at his, like, little bookshelf
like
down
there. Spies, yeah. Right?
Spy novels, yeah.
Like, them. The old, like, 007s and stuff?
Yeah. The Bourne Ultimatum.
Oh, yeah.
Do you
guys watch those things as they come out? Like, because HBO's been pumping them out and Amazon?
He does. I don't. Again, like, I just have a short attention span and I end up...
I'm chronically online and I'm involved in every form of media.
That's literally
great, like literally everyone's like, I watched that. I'll be like, I did too, and then I read 12 books and I slept for 20 minutes. They're like, okay, fucking freak.
And I watched literally nothing.
She watches nothing. And so I have honestly had to turn to my husband to be like, can we fucking watch something? None of my friends watch anything.
No, I totally, I know. I know, because I'm that. I just like watch like the same ones over and over again. Like,
I love a good comfort show, though.
I've been watching Downton Abbey at night. I have been putting that back on. It's comfort.
Yeah.
So tell us, like, because we're coming to the end of the year. Release day is in February.
February 11th.
February 11th. Oh, it's going to be so good for a little Valentine's Day treat. So tell us kind of like, what's your goal? Like, are you trying to publish another one next year? Are you giving yourself grace? Like, what are kind of some of your author goals, like, that you're setting, but like, that it's not the bar set too high, but just like, you know, what's kind of your vibe?
Definitely want to try to publish a second one next year towards the end of 2025. My goal is just to not cry as much and not panic, but I don't think that's going to happen.
Those are great goals. Can I piggyback off those?
We can be each other's accountability partners.
Accountability buddies!
Yes, exactly.
I watch a lot of Bob's Burgers, so that's why I will never hate on someone for watching the same thing. I am, like, always watching Bob's Burgers. Do you think you'll start writing the dark rom-com while you're in this series as, like, an escape to, like, give your brain a break from Hemlock? Or are you someone that's like, I have to stick on the straight and narrow, I'm writing this series?
No, I think I'm going to give myself a break because I just have a feeling, I just have this inkling that there's this character from book one that it's going to be their book in book three, that people are going to just absolutely go feral for, because the beta readers had like asked me, they're like, does this person get like their own book? And I was like, yeah.
You're so, like, yeah, but I'm going to make you wait till the third book.
Yeah, and I was like, it's going to, because like, and I'm like, that one's going to take time, because like that also deals with like a more like heavier topic, and just like that one I just need more time to like process with.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, so there's the dark rom-com will probably be in between like book two and book three.
That is so fun.
Yeah,
you're so awesome. I can't, like,
that's amazing. Yeah,
it's no small feat writing a book. I say it all the time, but sometimes I feel like people are like, I wrote a book. Yeah, like you wrote a fucking book. That is crazy.
When I look at the word count, I'm like, that's a lot of words that like came out of like my peanut sized brain. Like, and I'm shocked.
You're just doing all of it. You're writing, you're creating everything.
Yeah.
You're just awesome. Like, truly, you deserve all the praise. No, because like there are people like me who are like, I have books in my phone, but will they ever come out of my phone? I don't know. But you got out of your phone, and that is like, that is amazing.
They tell people like, if you have like, if you're somebody who's like anxious or like has ideas of your phone, like I always like, I'm online and I see people who are like comment like about like, I want to start a book but I don't know how, and I'm like, even though I haven't published it, like literally like reach out to me, like I
am. Oh, I
like,
do, folks.
Yeah.
Oh, I do.
I'm like, just like ask me, like you can bombard me with anything, because like I
no gatekeeping. Have, like,
yeah.
Which exactly. Is so great though, because you're on Threads, you let anyone ask you questions, like I know you're involved, because it's hard, like I feel like it's so hard when you're trying to like just start it on your own, you need a little village behind you.
Exactly, and like I know like what it's like, because you have so many questions and there's so many working parts, and that's why I'm just like sliding to my DMs, like we can like freak out about it together, like, you know, somebody will be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm asking so many questions. I'm like, I don't care. Like, because this
keep
like,
asking.
Yeah.
Because like, you probably had the same questions.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, there's just like a lot of steps, like when you set up everything or like, you know, different programs and systems and everything. So it's just,
I think that's where I get over, like, that's where I'm at in my overwhelmedness is like, I can, especially because I started working with authors on the back end. So I see all the moving parts and I get the voice notes from them. Like, I have 100 things going on. I have this and that, and I'm writing and I'm this and that. And I'm like, I'm anxious waking up. What the fuck do you mean? That's what you're juggling with. Yeah,
juggling so much, like at a time, like, you know, putting like the book up for pre-order was like, of course, anxiety inducing, because you're like,
yeah,
having to update that, and then like doing the blurb and having to like re-update it to Amazon and they have to approve it and like all these things, like there's just so
it's
much.
It's so technical.
Yes.
And that's where I'm like, I wish I had a service engineer or whatever, because I don't know what the fuck I'm doing.
I know, it's like you need like a second set of eyes, because you're like, I need a second set of eyes, or because I really don't want the government to come after me for something I didn't mean to do.
I can only imagine your search history, Miss Sam. Wow.
I'm sure like the government is like,
you just randomly
you
talk
are
about, like,
flagged.
I'm just writing a book, okay?
When I was researching the dark rom-com and was like looking it up, I was like, this is not gonna
I'm gonna end up on a list, okay? Like,
I know. When they're probably like, places to eat near the Grand Tetons. Really illegal activity. Puppies for sale.
Like, can you murder someone with a rope? Like, those are the things I'm imagining when I'm reading these romantic suspense authors. Like, you can't tell me Catherine Cowles isn't on a list. That woman writes the best romantic suspense, and I know she's flagged. I know it.
Because, like, you just think, like, I'm curious, like, how do you, like, can somebody really die from a super sharp, like, icicle? Like,
yeah.
Is that possible?
Right.
Like, about it.
You're like, is this plant actually poisonous?
Exactly. Like, I know one time, like, one of my old coworkers was like, did you know you could, like, kill somebody from, like, putting eye drops in their food? And I'm
okay,
like,
okay, yes.
Yes.
It makes them, like, literally, it kills them, like, within an hour. Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, fact
checking. Wait a second.
Like,
wasn't that part of the Wedding Crashers?
Yep.
That they made them, that could have went real bad.
Yep.
And it was just a trip to the bathroom all night, but like, damn. Sorry.
They didn't do their full research, folks.
Clearly. Now I'm thinking, I'm like, that would have taken a real dark turn if it went to that.
I mean, I already Google literally every waking thought that comes into my brain, and I talk to my phone out loud, like, you know what, Nicholas? That's what we've named the FBI agent in my phone.
Yeah.
Just in case you're wondering. I'll be like, you know what, Nicholas? If you don't behave, I'm going to use this information on you.
Yes, when I read my first Omegaverse, like, a couple Ooh. Months ago, Ooh. Let me tell you, I was going down that...
Well, you're like, so what does the knot look like?
I was like, what does this mean?
Is it actually functioning with this knot in here?
I'm, like, Googling, like, all these old, like, Tumblr posts from, like, 2000, like, 10 yes. are popping up. Like, they're, like, Megaverse, like, just, and I'm like, all right, like, here I'm in here now. So, might as well just, like, embrace it.
I've read one Omegaverse, and I loved it. It was very tame. On Omegaverse scale, it was Lana Ferguson's The Fake Mate.
Yeah.
But I remember Googling things in there, like, so, how long does his knot stay in? I'm like,
what does that mean? Like, what yeah. is mark? What does that mean?
Yeah, what does it mean that you're marking me with your glands?
Yes. Like, what?
You're like, okay, you're like, oh, I'm definitely on a list now.
I know, the FBI agent is like, this bitch is needs some help.
Mine's well, never bored, I can promise him that. Yes, he's
She's like looking up, like, what a nodding. Why do I have a migraine between the hours of 7 and 8 a.m.? What does this mean? Am I dying? And then goes back to, what is scent matching? Marking? What is this? Like, just, like, going through all this and,
Then you're like, pet stores near me. It's, like, the most random shit.
Dog food in stock. What does BDS, what does that mean?
What is a soft dom? I was Googling what that one for a while because I wasn't understanding, honestly. I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah, it was like, who's ever watching my search history is like this.
I always have to Google the piercing names. I'm like, the what?
Oh,
what
yeah.
Yeah,
you're what's happening?
Or when it's been passing and they'll be like, a Prince Charles. I'll be like,
what?
Does that mean the real Albert or what? Yeah, I'll be like, is that real? Like a person?
It's like piercing name, Prince Charles.
Please, yes. Someone clip it in. I'm going to make it one day. Prince Charles, what do you think that piercing looks like, you guys? You think it's on the tip?
Oh, I have so many thoughts right now, but
I have a lot of thoughts too.
So on that note, we are going to wrap this up because my brain's honestly thinking about Omegaverse and how they're normally white shoes. So does that just mean there's a knot in every hole? Like, that's what I'm thinking about. See, you guys aren't thinking it. You're not using your full brain like Libby is right now. I am scared of white shoes, Omega.
I've only read one.
How
Omegaverse?
Do you get the knot out if there's multiple knots?
And it was MM, so my only Omegaverse was a very weird experience.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You've never
yeah.
thought about that, right? That's what I'm thinking about, because yeah. Britt's like, I love white shoes, and I'm like, well, I'm thinking about, where are the knots? In every hole?
I just am very confused, like how anatomically what it looks like.
I found, honestly, a great little website. It's like a drawing, but, like, it really did, because I didn't understand. I truly was just not, I'll send it to you for real, because I just wasn't understanding.
Yeah, I think
it at all.
Too. I'm just like, I don't, like, I have an idea, but, like,
I will send it to you, because really it helped, because I was,
yeah.
I wanted to get more into it because I really liked Lana's book. So I'll send it to you because it really helped. And it like has some facts like in terms. So I'll send it to you because it really
visual
helped
learners,
me understand.
We, love
we might be readers, but we'll take it back to elementary school when we're learning about new worlds. Sam, you are seriously the best. You're so wonderful. You're just, I love you. That's why I made you come on this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You can come back anytime. Honestly, I think you need to come back and we need to have an Omegaverse episode where we just all talk about.
I would be on board with that.
I love when authors talk about like another love of theirs so that we can like pluck them out of what they're used to and put them back into something else. So let's give her till after her release because she's busy. But maybe like in the spring, we have a full Omegaverse episode so Britt can finally read one.
Yes.
And I'm gonna find like the craziest one for us to all buddy read so we can all just be fucking gagged together.
I would love that.
That well, it's happening. I'm marking it down. I'm planning up until the baby. So you will be informed. You are so wonderful. Thank you truly so much. I feel like we have a lot of authors that listen and indie authors and stuff. So I'm sure some like there's information to be had. We have a lot of people that want to write. So thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your journey with us. A new leaf, folks. A new leaf. ARC signups still happening?
Happening.
Yeah, ARC signups are still happening. It releases February 11th. A little Valentine's Day treat for you guys. We will link everything down below, all of Sam's handles, where you can pre-order. And I think that's all she wrote, folks. So thank you, seriously. You're the best.
Thank you
for having me.
We love you. And until next time, I am your host, Father Lip.
And I'm your co-host, Sister Britt.
And we will see you guys next time. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Bye, guys.